morning, Buffalo Ridge. I'm glad you could join us for the Adult Sunday School Hour here at Buffalo Ridge. My name is Shannon Barker. I teach the Home Builders class here at the church, and it is an honor to share God's Word with you this morning. And I want you to take your Bibles and go ahead and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22, and our reference verses in that chapter will be verses 1 through 19. And today's lesson will be out of the series Streams in the Desert, and the lesson title is Responding to God. How does God want us to respond when we reach a time of trial and a time of tribulation, that desert time in our life? How does God want us to respond to Him? And we want to look at this thought this morning. So this series comes from the series, again, Streams in the Desert by Striving Together Publications. And the idea is that God provides for us in a time of trial in our life. And we see this in many Bible characters. This is lesson number 11 in the series. We are almost done with this series in my class. And we see in many lives in God's Word how the Lord provided during a desert time. And the Lord can provide in our life in that same way in this day and time. So the application is God still is able to send us His stream in the desert in the times of testing, difficulties, and trials. And so this morning, we're going to look at this idea of responding to God. And the idea is we're going to learn the principle of patience in the Christian life. And we're going to see this in the life of Abraham. So we're going to look in Genesis chapter number 22 this morning. And in introduction, we're going to read the first two verses only. And then we'll pray together. And then we'll open God's Word and look and see what He has for us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time. We are grateful, Lord, for Your Word, how powerful it is. Lord, how the living Word of God, and how we can look into Your Word and see these principles. Lord, the principles of how You want us to respond during a time of trial and testing and tribulation. Lord, open our hearts this morning as we look at Your Word and learn this principle of patience in the Christian life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at chapter number 22 in Genesis and the first two verses. God's Word says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Here we see this story unfold, this time in Abraham's life where the God has asking him for the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of his son Isaac. Some background here that we want to think about is that Abraham was a man of patience. If we look at the life of Abraham, we see many times that Abraham was waiting, was patiently waiting. We can read in God's Word about him waiting on a son. We can read about him waiting on a city whose builder and maker is God. We also see him waiting on God for supplying his every need, supplying the needs of the children of Israel. So we see that Abraham was a man of patience. And in this passage, we see that this idea of patience God is putting to the test. The Bible states that tribulation worketh patience. And we find that, in fact, Abraham had many trials. Abraham's journey in the Old Testament was not easy. It was not a journey that was without trials and without tribulations. In fact, it is those trials and tribulations that worked the patience in his life and the trust and the faith that he had in God to provide his every need. We see here as we arrive in Genesis chapter 22, we find God asking him to sacrifice Isaac. Here we see the battle between faith and reason are at odds for Abraham. We can imagine that Abraham at this time, when he hears from God, that reason tells him that, Lord, you promised me this son. This is my beloved son. Why would I want to offer him as a sacrifice? That was reason. Yet faith in the life of Abraham said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you because this is what you're asking me to do. And I've seen you provide many times in my life. And I'm going to trust. So we see that faith and reason were here at odds in this desert experience in Abraham's life. God would provide a stream in the desert, and here he's going to teach us in this passage the principle of patience and how we are to respond to God when we are looking for us to serve. So we're going to see 3 points here this morning. First, we're going to see the request to Abraham. We're going to see his response, and then we're finally going to see the results for Abraham. So we're going to start first with the request to Abraham. So what was the request to Abraham? We've read the first two verses in Genesis chapter 22, and we see that very request that God is requesting here of Abraham to offer his only son Isaac. And so the request is the title of the first point, but in fact, it was much more of a command of God. This trial would reveal the character of faithful Abraham and how faithful he was. And we're going to see many qualities as we move through the lesson this morning. But first we see that God asked for his best. Not Ishmael, not the son that fell away, but the son Isaac, his beloved son. You know, we see here that God asked for his only son. And when we see that and we look at that and what Scripture is referring to here is the only son by Sarah, the promised son. He asked for the son of promise. The principle here is that God always wants and he always deserves our best. He asked here in this passage for Abraham's best, his beloved son. And in fact, God wants that very thing from me and he wants that very thing from you. He deserves and wants our very best. The journey to Moriah was 3 days from where they're at here. And you can see that reference in verse 4. It says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. So we'll read that in a moment. But we see that this journey to Mount Moriah was a 3-day journey. Now, I can put myself in Abraham's shoes for just a moment and think, here God is asking me to offer my beloved son, his only son of Sarah. And he has 3 days to journey and think about his obedience. Think about what he is going to do. Really consider his response. What a burden that must have been for Abraham. If I was to think about having to walk 3 days journey and knowing what God has asked me to do here, what a burden. What a desert time in Abraham's life. So God asked for Abraham's best. God also asked for his dreams and his future. You have to remember that the Abrahamic covenant was to be fulfilled through Isaac, not Ishmael. So this request to offer Isaac as a burnt offering was a very significant request. And so we see here that God not only asked for Abraham's best, but he also asked for his dreams and his future. And we think here the application would be here is God wants us to put our future in his trust, in his care, in his provision. God wants to take care of us. He asks us to put ourselves alongside of him to serve in the Christian life. And then we see also the third point here is God asks for the unexplainable, his beloved son. For us that are blessed to be parents, and we can think of offering a child, offering a son here in this example, what an unexplainable request at this time, not really even understanding why. You know, Abraham could have questioned this request. At this point in time in the history in the Old Testament, it was only the heathen, the heathen people that offered up their own children as a sacrifice. So he could have very easily, Abraham could have questioned here, why, Lord, why do you want me to offer my son, you know, my only son, the promised one that you promised me, the son that you're going to fulfill the covenant you made with me for the children of Israel, why this son? But yet, he knew the Father's voice. And he responded in faith without being able to explain the request. He didn't know the reason why. He just knew that he was to obey. And he knew the Father's voice. You know, I step back and think here, Abraham knew the Father's voice. And how did he know the Father's voice? Well, the only way that he would know the Father's voice is that he's spending time in fellowship, spending time with his God. And here, the application I think of in my own life is if I'm going to hear and know the will of God, I have to spend time with God. I have to spend time in His Word, spend time in prayer. And what a convicting thought here that here we see that Abraham really obeyed this request, followed this request of God, not knowing why, but knowing that it was the Father's voice and knowing that he was to be obedient. So we see here the request, or rather the command of God, for him to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. So then we move to the second point here in today's lesson. We see the response of Abraham. And I think here is probably the bulk of the application in our own life and how we can apply these thoughts to trials and tribulations and testings that God puts us through in our Christian walk today, and how we can apply the way Abraham responded to this request. So there's much to learn here in God's Word when studying how an individual of faith responds to testings in their life. And we see Abraham would have moments of great trust as well. Certainly, he's human, of thoughts of uncertainty. But we're going to see some key points here of where we can apply these same principles of how he responded to this request. So let's read verses 3 through 10. And then we'll talk about these things. And so we pick up in chapter 22, verse number 3, and we'll read through verse number 10. It says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both them together. And they came to the place which God had told them, him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Wow, what a passage in God's Word of obedience. So we're going to see here, and we're going to go back and look at some of these verses that we just read, and look and see how Abraham responded. First of all, his response was prompt. Look in verse number 3. It says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." Here the vision was probably given at night. Some sources say that this was given at night. But certainly, he responded early the next morning. There was no delays. There was no questioning. There was simple obedience. You know, we have used with our children the saying that delayed obedience is disobedience. And how true is it in our own Christian life? The Lord tells us to do something. We know that something is right to do based on His Word. Yet we delay. Yet we question. Yet we procrastinate. And we do not obey. And really here, this idea of delayed obedience is disobedience. We need to be prompt. You know, God does not expect us to have all the answers before we obey in faith. Our minds are so finite that we want to know, and I'm guilty of this myself, my personality. I want to know every detail. I want to know how it's going to result, what the results are going to be, what the choices are. And most of us, we could relate to that, and we want to know all the details before we start something. Yet God wants us to have faith. And the definition of faith is being able to trust in those things that are unknown and trusting God to provide. And here we see that Abraham was prompt. We see also that he was prepared. We see this in verse 3 and verse 6. If we continue reading in verse 3, we see that he saddled the ass and he brought his son Isaac and he clave the wood for the burnt offering. He rose up and he went forth to where God told him to go. We see in verse 6 that he had the wood and he had his son and he had the fire and the knife. So he had everything that he needed to do exactly what God had commanded him to do. He started immediately to gather and prepare the items needed for the sacrifice. We know we talked about the wood, the knife, the fire. He logically and deliberately obeyed this command. Could you imagine, just as a parent, I can just imagine the emotion that could have been very distracting to be able to gather all these things together. Think of a moment of stress. You know, maybe a family member gets hurt or something happens that someone that you love dearly, and you're rushing around and trying to get things taken care of, and you often get distracted. And I can imagine that Abraham could have been distracted from the thought of what might happen and what the Lord has commanded him to do, and he's being faithful and obeying, yet he was deliberate in his preparation. So he was prepared in this response. He was also, it was a personal response. Look at verse number 5. It says, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, speaking of Isaac, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Here we see that it was personal. It was worship just with the father and the son. We see here that also, this really spoke to me as I was studying, but it says here, we see in verse 5, the last part of verse 5, it says, and come again to you. Now, here is a statement of faith. Can you imagine that here we know that Abraham has been told, you're going to take your son upon Mount Moriah, and you're going to offer him as a burnt offering, a sacrifice, your son. And that's what God had commanded. And he was obeying, being obedient and following through with this. Yet he had faith, knowing that God, the same God that provided many needs in the past for him, would be the same God that would provide a lamb, because he said, and we will both come back to you. He had faith, fully anticipating the return of Isaac. God wants to take us to a personal meeting with him in order to bolster our faith and our confidence that the same God that did this for Abraham is the same God that can do that in my life and that can do that in yours. And so we see that it was personal. This response was a personal response and a response that stated his faith and trust in an almighty God. It was praise-filled. We see this also in verse 5. Here we see that they will go yonder and worship. Can you imagine that Abraham, in this case, knowing that he was going to offer his son Isaac, yet he was going to go and they were going to go up and they were going to worship. Go yonder and worship, approaching with worship, not with fear and confusion. Here we see that he had the right approach. Moriah is remembered as a mountaintop experience rather than a valley experience. You know, if we've read and didn't know that the rest of this story, which many of us do know, we would think, wow, this is going to be a place of sadness. This is going to be a place of trial and of a loss of life. Yet, this is not that. They go yonder and worship, and we see God provide in a wonderful way. You know, this is an application here that I think is very appropriate. Is so often we get distracted with the testings and tribulations. We get our eyes focused on those things in front of us, the things that are distracting us, that are physically there in our way. Yet we forget to lift our eyes to the Almighty, and He wants us to praise Him even in the midst of things that are difficult and the testings of life. It was also precise. We see this in verse number 9. It says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. It was very precise. He followed God's command at every turn. We see that in several verses through this passage, we see that he did as God commanded, or as God led, or as God showed him. So God is looking for immediate and a precise obedience. Let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. I want to read this reference and share this with you as we think about the obedience that Abraham had here. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, it says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams." Here we see that it's the approach, it's the way we approach worship that God is pleased with. It is better to obey than to have a void sacrifice, a sacrifice that has no meaning, and we're not following the precise obedience of the Lord. So it was precise. It was precise in his approach and his response. And finally, we see that it was pure. Verse 10 says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Abraham was following and obeying to the very end. Abraham was not obeying to see what God, what he could get from the Lord as a result of his obedience. He was firmly and fully committed to carrying out the request that we saw in verses 1 and 2. True faith follows and finishes. Weak faith forsakes and falters. Listen to that again. True faith follows and finishes. We see that here in the life of Abraham. Weak faith forsakes and falters. Let us be ones of true faith, ones that follow God, ones that finish the job that the Lord has called us to do. True faith follows and finishes. So we see the response of Abraham. Then we finally get to the end here of this passage in verses 11 through 19, and we see the result for Abraham. So let's pick up reading in verse number 11. It says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heavens a second time, and he said, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the sea shore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And our final verse in verse 19, it says, "So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they arose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." Here we see the result of Abraham. Abraham fully trusted and obeyed. And as a result, we see, first of all, that he was blessed of God. We see this, that God reiterates the covenant that he made with Abraham, the fact that he would multiply the seeds of the earth and his seed throughout the earth, that he would bless the people and bless his family and use his line here in this covenant. And here we see that God would not withhold his blessing from a man that would not withhold his beloved son. We see here that obedience brings forth the blessing of God. Blessings are not deserved or earned, What a privilege it is to live a blessed life by God. Here we see that Abraham was blessed. He was blessed because of his obedience. We see that God fulfilled his promise. God is faithful and not slack concerning his promises. He would preserve his promise through the sparing of Isaac's life. And we think here, if God can deliver at Jehovah Jireh, then God can deliver us through any circumstance or desert experience that we face. Here we see, and again, going back to the fact that he promised in verse 5, at the end of verse 5 it says, and come again to you. And we see here that in verse 19, so Abraham returned unto his young men. Here they come down and see that the wonderful provision of God, the fact that God tested Abraham and tested his faith. And he was fully committed, fully faithful and obedient to the very end. And we see that God provided. And we see here that they came back down just as he had said, that's his statement of faith. And how faithful he was. What a man of God that we see here that God provided during a desert time in his life. So we see that they come back down from Moriah, the place where they called Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And we see the result for Abraham. So in conclusion this morning, we see that in the desert, God provided a stream by sparing Isaac's life. We saw the request to Abraham, the command of God in verses 1 and 2. We saw the response of Abraham. We saw those things that he needed to do, the examples that we can apply to our own life in the ways that we are to respond when God tests us, when God puts things in our life, in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, that he's asking us to follow and to the testings that we have. We see the response. And then we finally see the result of Abraham in the last few verses of this passage, 11 through 19. The results, the providing that God did for Abraham in this passage. We see that patience in the Christian life, we have to obey in faith. Here the idea of patience. God asked Abraham for this sacrifice, and Abraham was patient. He followed God at every turn. He didn't question God. He didn't get ahead of God. He did exactly to the very degree what God had told him to do. So let's apply some of these points to our life as we wrap this lesson up this morning. How can we apply the idea of how are we to respond to God? So how do we respond to God in times of testing and tribulation? You know, if I look at my life and I say, Lord, how am I going to respond to the things that go on in my life? Are we prompt? Do we delay? Do we question? You know, or are we getting up the next morning, arise and do exactly what God has told us to do? Are we prepared? Do we make it personal with God? You know, are we praising God even in the midst of the trials and tribulations? Are we lifting our eyes unto the Lord? Are we precise in our obedience? Here I think of the lyrics of a song. It says, the song title is "When I Lay My Isaac Down," and I think C.T. Townsend sings this, and others may sing this as well. But I think of this in way of application of this thought. The chorus goes here: "When I lay my Isaac down with a broken heart, but my father's proud, on this altar where he lay, just to find it wasn't him, he wanted me." God wanted the faithful obedience of Abraham. That's what God wanted all along. He didn't want Isaac. It wasn't Isaac that he was wanting. He was wanting Abraham to trust and fully obey God. And what is God asking me? What is God asking you to be obedient in? And are we letting things get in the way of God's blessing? You know, a desert experience ended up being a mountaintop experience. It was only because Abraham was determined to obey with faith. Are we obeying with faith? Are we being obedient? Are we being trusting in the Lord to provide our every need? So responding to God, let us respond to God as Abraham did with complete obedience and full faith and trust in our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, what a wonderful passage in God's Word. Lord, you've blessed me in studying this. And Lord, we are to approach life asking you to speak to us. Lord, Pastor Herdman many times has asked us, Lord, to be prepared, to come to every service ready for the Lord to speak. And Lord, here we see that Abraham was ready. He was ready for you at every turn, at every time in his life. He was ready. He was prepared. He was pure. He was obedient. Lord, what an example for me to follow in my Christian life, for us to follow in this church in our Christian life. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this passage. Thank you for letting us study it this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to apply these things. Lord, if we're not going through a time of testing and trial right now, Lord, we will, because your word promises that this life will experience the testings and the tribulation in the Christian life. Lord, you are trying to make us more like you, and Lord, helping us follow you and be obedient. Lord, help us to, when we face these times, to look back at this thought and help us to apply it to our very life as we walk for you, as we live for you. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.